follow the pledge of allegiance. Just a moment of silence, please. Turn to the pledge of allegiance, please. Pledge of allegiance.
This is the flag. United States of America. This is the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Clerk, would you give a roll call, council?
Councilman Anderson?
Here.
Councilman Curry? Is absent. Councilman Quinn? Councilman Faber? Councilman Edwards? Councilman Pizarro?
Here.
Councilman Stevenson?
Here.
Councilman Weber?
Here.
Councilman Capper?
Here.
Councilman Stadler?
Here.
Mayor Harris is absent. Mr. Mayor, there is a quorum present.
First matter before council is in keeping with a newly revised rule which provides for audience participation at the beginning of the meeting. New arrangement of council wherein there are 30 minutes that are reserved in time by council, limited to 30 minutes, wherein anyone can bring matters to council attention that they have to bring to the attention of council. As it is set up, those who seek in advance to the meeting a particular spot of time are ranked in the order of asking for that. If that 30 minutes is not set or requested in advance, then of course it is open to be continued to be total of 30 minutes. This period of time wherein council will hear concerns expressed by the audience, it is not a time wherein council engages in discussion with the audience at large, but rather to hear from the audience. There is also a reserved period of time at the conclusion of the council meeting for anyone else who was not heard who wishes to be so. Mr. Clerk, do we have reservations of time for this portion of the meeting?
Yes, sir. The first reservation was for Skip Tall of Translove Energies Incorporated. Since he's speaking for a group, we reserve 10 minutes.
One of the things that I tried to do when I reserved the time is to make it very clear that I didn't want to just present something to City Council and have them listen to it and not respond to it at all, and not engage in any debate or engage in any concrete activity. But it turns out, according to what you said, that I just get to talk and it bounces off the walls and then we sit down. Well, how is it possible to be on the agenda for the City Council meeting and to engage in some debate with the people who are supposed to be our representatives?
That's a direct question. I'd be glad to respond to that, Mr. Talk. There are possibilities wherein council can allocate in a council meeting their agendas for a discussion or a public hearing on the matter. This is within the keeping of the prerogatives of council. The audience participation time, which you have selected the period of time to speak, is the period of time as I have described. It does not preclude, forever an opportunity of the kind of thing you described.
Well, how could we engage in some kind of dialogue tonight instead of just really making a statement and a bunch of other people saying what they feel? How can we find out how you feel about things?
Right, this
what you're going to do about things?
This would be the choice of council at a future time to set up exactly what you described, but not in relation to the agenda for this evening. There are also possibilities wherein there are other vehicles wherein that kind of thing that you're speaking of can occur.
Well, how does it happen? I'd like to happen tonight. I asked for that originally. I thought I made it clear that I didn't want to just make a statement, that I wanted to engage in some kind of dialogue tonight. Can we change the agenda around tonight, or can you make it clear about how we go about that and what criteria we use? Like, I have some things to say that I think are very important. And I think that the people that represent citizens in this community to talk about, not just listen to. I like to know what people feel about it. I just don't want to sit here and talk into the tape before they're in the microphone.
All right, in relation to the comments that you have to make, I think council might well take under consideration the best vehicle for that expression, and we'd be very willing to entertain that question if you would, at this point, address your remarks in terms of the 10 minutes that you have allocated.
Okay, the main reason that I'm here, and a lot of other people are here, is because there's a crisis in Ann Arbor. That crisis has to do with the murder of 6 girls. Now, everybody in the community is concerned about that, and everybody is concerned about the police's inability to solve the murder, not just solve it, to come up with any means whatsoever. So what we've done at Translove Energy, since we have a lot of people living together already and we have a lot of contact with people in the community, is we've set up Wednesday night meetings to talk about the murder and the murder investigation amongst ourselves and with friends and anybody that's interested. And what we've discovered at these meetings that we have is that not only have the police been unable to solve the murder, but they've used the murder investigation in ways that have nothing to do with investigating the murder. And we've also found out through testimony given by people at these meetings that the police have not acted on information that was made available to them. We have some specifics on tape, and I can go over some specifics that I have written down. And I guess we have a tentative meeting set up with the police tomorrow to deal with this. And what we've discovered is that when something goes wrong in the city, whether it be the inability of the city to provide a park for a free concert on a weekly basis, or whether it be the inability of the police department to solve murder, the only way anything ever happens concretely and immediately is if a lot of people get together and expose the stupidity of the existing laws or the existing structures that are set up to deal with the laws, and then act collectively, you know, to have their desires and their ideas and their feelings understood, and to get some action on them. Like, we had to get a petition with 3,000 signatures and come down to the city council meeting at the beginning of this year just to get a park every Sunday to have a free rock and roll concert in. And the law was changed. And we've been unsuccessful for 2 years in dealing with that on an individual basis or on just a small group basis. We had to organize and educate the whole community to get some action on that. So we discovered that that's the way things happen. That's like that's the objective way that we get results. And so we prepared a statement on the police in a time of crisis, because we realized that their basic fault within the way the police department is set up, and within the way the government is set up, and within the way the economic system is set up, and the best way to expose those faults and to educate people about what is wrong with, let's say, the capitalist system or with the way the government is set up in America, is to strike and to educate when there's a crisis, because that's when the system seems to be its weakest, and that's when the contradictions between what people need and what's being done for them are at their height. Like, you have a situation in Ann Arbor where the police have been unable to come up with any clues around the murder of 6 girls, while we, who just live in a commune and call a community meeting, can come up with, in 2 weeks, a whole set of information that the police have ignored. Now, I can go over some specifics. Probably the most relevant things are that we know of at least 3 incidences when girls were attacked on the street or chased on the street around the time of the murders, and they called up the police to tell this to the police, and all the police had to say was that the detective is interested in them contacting you, and they were never contacted. But we've had girls that have come to us and said that they've called the police with relevant information, and they haven't been able to find a person to tell it to. They call up the Ypsilanti police, and the Ypsilanti police, they call the state police. State police, they call the Washtenaw police. The Washtenaw police, they call the Ann Arbor police. And I know as a fact, and the Ann Arbor News can even verify this, that there's competition within the police departments around the time when they should be cooperating instead of competing. That's what I mean about contradictions, the basic contradiction within society. This is society is set up in a competitive nature instead of a cooperative nature. In a time of crisis, those contradictions are the most glaring. And the Ann Arbor News, in their mild-mannered way, get pissed off at Sheriff Harvey and the state police for feuding with each other about how to deal with the murder investigation instead of cooperating with each other to act on information. So we're, I have a set of, this pink sheet is in front of all of you. I'll just read some of it. It says, there's a crisis in Ann Arbor. Six girls have been murdered and the police have in no way approached a solution. In fact, the police have proven to be incompetent, poorly coordinated, and vindictive. Based on information given to us by reliable friends and upon facts and related events discussed at a number of Wednesday night free community council meetings at the Transmuff communes, we accuse the police of 1, not investigating extremely relative information concerning the attempted attack, 2, of not making it clear to the total public exactly what is being done to solve the murders, 3, of making it difficult for people with information to relay it to one central responsible police source. People are given the bureaucratic runaround or being treated like criminals. A statement from one of the undersheriffs in the Washtenaw County Police Department to a newsman the other day that I read in the Detroit News or the Detroit Press. When asked how they're dealing with the situation, he said, we treat everyone in the whole community as if they were a suspect, as you and you and everybody here. The police treat the whole population as if they were potential criminals or if they were criminals. And when they bring people in to question them, the people are intimidated and the people are treated as if they were criminals. The police no longer serve the needs of the people. The police try to control the people. The police try to intimidate people. They have no respect for people. And when it comes time for a murder investigation, we have incidences of our friends who were dragged in off the streets or questioned on the streets by police officers. And when they're brought into the station, the police aren't so interested in talking about the murder as they are finding out information on a person's life. And that just seems like that's bogus. Those are fascist Gestapo tactics to gather information on people and to control people's lives. And we ain't gonna put up with it. And last point, the police are using the murder investigation to harass street people and people who smoke marijuana. And we know from experience that smoking marijuana harms no one, and that it's criminal, that there are laws against its use, and enforcement of those laws is so harsh, selective, and a waste of taxpayers' money. The police should be putting their total energies into solving the murders. Now, I know that you ain't going to be able to enact any legislation that's going to take the marijuana laws off the books, but I know damn well that you can tell narcotics pig Anderson in the city quit wasting taxpayers' money to bust people who smoke a little marijuana when he should be out on the streets finding a murderer, or when he should be out doing some other things that serve the needs of the people, because he ain't doing anybody any good when he's out there with all his little piglets busting people and informing on people and setting people up to be enemies against each other just because they smoke a little pot. Now, if you want to sit down with me later on and go over the medical and legal aspects of marijuana, I'd be glad to give you an educational experience. Because I know that it doesn't hurt anyone, especially the person who uses it. It's beneficial. It's like a sacrament. It makes a lot more sense than saying the Pledge of Allegiance to sit down and smoke a little dope before you have a meeting.
Right
on.
We
do it all the time. Like I said before, we exploit the crisis. We consider ourselves revolutionaries, and we consider ourselves an organization that's designed to educate people in a way that lets them know how to act collectively, to take control over their own lives, and to enjoy the best life that's possible. Because we know that the people who run the society, the people that own the factories, aren't interested in providing people with the best possible. They're interested in making a profit. You can witness that in Detroit or in any big city where the police have leveled attacks on the Black Panther Party
And if you look at what the Black Panther Party is doing, it's feeding thousands of kids across America for free every morning. And the police don't like that, because that exposes a contradiction in society. It shows people that in the midst of plenty, there's kids who ain't eating. And there ain't no way to deal with it except for to feed them. And the administration and the government can make studies about it all they want, but they still aren't feeding the people. So the whole thing about exploiting the crisis means that we're not just interested in solving a murder. That's the focus of things. But while we're talking about how the police department is ineffective and how at a time of crisis they really expose their true nature, I'd like to run down a couple of other things. And this is what I would like the councilman to comment on, as well as why the police. I'm surprised the police aren't here, for one thing.
They are. Shit, there's one over here. There's one back there.
Two back there.
People being killed all over the streets, and they got pigs up here intimidating the people.
That's great. Mr. Talk, you have gone the 10 minutes. Would you try to summarize the next minute or two?
Well, I'd like to read over these items.
Well, if you would summarize the next minute or two, please.
Okay, I'll just read over the items that have to do with some other incidents of the police trying to control the people instead of serving the people. And one is the Whistle Stop restaurant on South University in Forest was ransacked to the tune of $300 worth of damages, and two of our black friends were spat upon by two people. And the reason that in the paper it says they were fraternity boys is because they were seen to be running into a fraternity, but that doesn't mean they were fraternity boys. It should just say that they were a couple punks. And there's a little bit of an inaccuracy. It says, well, the policemen were out front. Well, the policemen were around the corner, and they were called to the scene of the vandalism and the fight by the manager of the Satellite restaurant across the street from South University after he saw what was going down. Well, the policemen came over after these dudes ripped up this restaurant and refused to pay for their food and spit on two people. And when the manager and the people tried to register complaints against these two kids and have them arrested, the police said there was nothing they could do. And they let them go. And I know it ain't right. Another incident is that two White Panther Party members were walking down South University, and they had a White Panther flag rolled up in their hands, and Sheriff Harvey's goons pulled up alongside of them and took the flag away from them. Kids went down to the Washtenaw County Jail to try to get the flag back. I don't think they've got it back yet. You know, I think they will press charges against Sheriff Harvey's goons, and we would expect the cooperation of the city in pressing charges against Sheriff Harvey. Same way that we would expect the city council and the city administration to act more harshly and more concretely against Sheriff Harvey around the incident of a staff member of the HRC being beat up by a police officer, that police officer resigning, and then being hired by Sheriff Harvey. That's just bullshit. Sheriff Harvey ain't gonna be, next thing you know, he's gonna be hiring that police officer who was just acquitted for killing a kid in the Algiers Motel in 1967. That's just the kind of staff that Sheriff Harvey does have. That's the way Sheriff Harvey thinks, because he's a pig. And I think that it doesn't make any sense for the city council to just object to that. I think they should get on the ball and sign a petition that's being circulated to recall Sheriff Harvey, because he doesn't serve the needs of the people. He's a pig. He intimidates people, he threatens people, he brutalizes people, and he hires other pigs to do the same thing who have been hired from other police departments. Now, we have some petitions that are being circulated, and one thing that I would like the city council members to respond to on an individual basis is whether they will sign that petition to recall Sheriff Harvey and to have an election to get him out of office and to get a sheriff that's more responsible to the people. I don't just want to have a little bit of talk. I want to know what you're going to do about it. We're sick of him. He hassled us in the parks last year, and now he's hassling people on the streets in a city where he's got no right to be, let alone in the county. A couple other incidents, and this you can maybe comment on. Was there a city council meeting on June 2nd? Okay, well, two people or three people came down here expecting the city council meeting, As soon as they walked in the front door downstairs, police dragged them over to the side and harassed them and searched them and said there was no city council meeting, they should get out of here. And that ain't no way to treat any citizens who are coming down to find out how their government operates. And I think that should be looked into. Another incident of the way the police selectively harass people who they don't like, because those people are involved in distributing literature, are involved in organizing people to have a lot of fun or take control over their lives, is that a friend of ours named Fuzzy, who's in the audience tonight, was busted for curfew a few days ago. And he was in a group of a number of people who were under the age of 16, and it was midnight, and the police kicked him out because they told him earlier in the day that they didn't like what he was doing on the streets. He sells Black Panther newspapers. He has a lot of great time with a lot of people on the streets around South University, and they decorate the sidewalk, and the police busted him for curfew. And if the police can't realize that that's no way to treat people or do nobody no harm, then the police are going to be treated like pigs because they're acting like pigs. And the way you treat a pig is to knock it out. Right on. For every pig, there's a platter with a little barbecue.
I haven't been quite willing to extend the time, and I would like that you would summarize, would you please?
Okay, I just have three more points and then I'll end. And this one is directed specifically to Councilman Kazarnoff, because he's the councilman from the district that Translove Energies is situated. The Ann Arbor pigs have been coming by our house for months. And every night around 3 o'clock for a while, they were shining lights on our house, in our windows. They'd stop out front and shine their lights on it.
In my upstairs bedroom.
In a bedroom? I don't know, maybe they're perverts or something. I know that we talked to you about it. I know that we talked to Staudenmeyer about it, the police lieutenant. And we told him we didn't like it. We didn't like the intimidation. We didn't like the whole attitude of the police. And for a while, it stopped, but it's continued again. And the only way that we're left to deal with it is to go out and confront the individual pig who does it. And one day we did that. We went out, it was the middle of the night, and this dodo was out there looking at our house with his lights, and all he had to say for himself was that he was busy looking at our grass. This is the middle of the night. Now, if you can't act on that and get that stopped, maybe we'll just put out his searchlights and tell him to go around the corner and shine them on your house. Because we don't like it. We ain't going to put up with it anymore. And it's got to stop immediately. I mean, tonight.
Right on.
That's really the... I'll just leave off with the incidents there. The one final thing is, I know we talked about a lot of things. And one thing that may impress you about our whole attitude is that a lot of people here want to register to vote. Not so much because we believe in the electoral process in terms of having our needs and desires satisfied, but because we see the voting procedure as a tactic that we can make use of, like in the recall Sheriff Harvey campaign or in serving on juries. Like, I know that if I ever serve on a jury when anybody's busted for marijuana, he ain't going to be found guilty. And I want to be serving on juries. So I went down to the city clerk's office the other day and asked him that in America, in the land of the free, where the electoral process is supposedly the process that represents us all, why couldn't they set up voter registration booths in the parks every Sunday? Because that's where there's thousands of people, especially young people, who are the age to register to vote. And he said it was impossible. And I'd like some response about the procedure that has to be taken to get voter registration set up at the convenience of the people. And as an immediate end to that, we'd like voter registration set up in the parks every Sunday. And following that, we'd like a mobile truck to go through the streets of the city and register people to vote at their convenience. Now, I don't mean during the day, but I mean after people are home from a hard day's work, or on the weekends when they're sitting around drinking beer and watching TV. Because people shouldn't have to come down to the city hall and be intimidated with a whole lot of questions and be told they can't register to vote because they're students or because they ain't lived here long enough or because they got long hair or because they're black. I want the people who are supposed to register people to vote to come down and register us to vote where we are. We're out of thousands in the parks every Sunday.
your job. We will give you a response to direct your job.
I don't know what kind of response you're going to give and when you're going to give it. I mean, why can't we talk about it now? I don't want to read it in the Ann Arbor News in a week.
This will not be dealt at this time. We have some other persons who have sought to speak to council. We will move on with that item of business, Mr. Taub. I will be in touch with you very directly and discuss the very matter in which you're talking about.
Well, I would like to take care of publicly. I don't want to deal with you over the telephone on an individual basis. I would like to have a guarantee that we either have a public special council meeting, to be allowed to be on the agenda for dialogue next week.
Yes, I want to suggest at this immediate moment, and then I would like to leave it at this point, that there are two possibilities that exist. We have currently a committee that has been set up by Mayor Harris, which is composed of six or seven individuals who are working on the matter of police-community relations. I know that they'd be very willing to listen to you, anxious to listen to you, and have dialogue in relation to very specific concerns.
You're willing to listen to me. I don't want dialogue. I want some action.
Mr. Taub, this is the conclusion of this portion, of the audience portion, and we will get with you. That I promise. I'm suggesting that at this point I would like to move on with the agenda and have the next persons who have been waiting.
Well, I would like more of a concrete promise in terms of a public meeting that's open to the public,
I have given this promise, Mr. Taub, and that's what will be carried on. And
well,
we can turn to the next person.
And we'll talk until the sun comes up every night, if you want us to.
All right, fine. Thank you, Mr. Taub. Just one moment, please. We do have other persons who have made requests, and it's in that order that they are to appear.
Not on the agenda.
Pardon? The council rules are and have been stated. They are clear. Persons are calling can come up at any time up until 7:30 of the council meeting, seek reserve time, and they are taken the order in which they have been requested. Mr. Clerk, who is the next person to speak?
Mr. Michael Farrell asked for 10 minutes to speak for a student group.
My name is Mike Farrell and I represent Student Government Council, of which I'm a member at large. I too would like to talk about an incident, or perhaps something related to an incident which happened this past week, and perhaps which has happened in the last 2 years. I've had slayings on campus, and also other incidents which are not reported either over the radio or in the newspaper, and that being muggings, rapes, and things of this nature which affect the campus itself and the city as a whole. Before I have given you a list, an itemized list of the university and city program, which was instituted back in 1968 and was to run in 68 and also this year. And this is a program for improved city lighting. And I would suggest that the city lighting program, which has been instituted and which has been put into operation, is very insufficient and incomplete. I would ask any of you to go up on the campus area or any place in the city, and whether that you would be willing to walk alone on some street at night, much less have your daughter be going to and from the Ugly, to and from the Grand Library, or to the coffee shop on South U. The lighting on these streets is insufficient, particularly in the hospital area, either on the women's pool, or on the library, on South U, on Washtenaw, on Hill. This is not a matter that the city alone can handle, or a matter that the university alone can handle. This is a joint responsibility of both the city and the university. I think that you should take it upon your shoulders to institute a much broader program other than one which has been instituted, as you see in the paper before you. I think that this is not a matter that can be put off until next year when you can review the city budget and when fiscal year 71 comes up. This matter has to be taken care of now, this summer, to be instituted and put into effect by the fall. You've got 35,000 students in this campus, in the city, with an additional 50,000 citizens. They are affected. You are a responsibility not only to the students, but also to the citizens of this community. And I think this is one way that you can institute this responsibility. These kids, everybody can't afford to drive to and from the Ugly, to and from North Campus, or around the campus. you've got to put some lighting in here so we don't have to be afraid if we walk, we have to go to the hospital for emergency service. So if you want to walk over to the pool or walk over to the gym, you've got to put some adequate lighting in. A second point that I'd like to bring up is the busing system. An integral part of a campus security program and a program for the city security and safety of citizens is a busing program, not during the day, not one more or less for convenience for kids who want to go shopping and for citizens who want to shop, but one for safety. We need buses at night on Southview, on Hill, on Washtenaw, on East Williams, on Ann Street, and on Thompson Street.
Right on.
It's about time we got some action. I called up fellows in charge of the city bus program last March and last February and April, and I received promises, well, the bus will be in operation this year, don't worry about it, we'll get some arrangement going so we can get the students serviced. Well, about 2 weeks later, the bus system went out of business. I don't know what the system, what the arrangement is right now with the busing for the city, but I think this is another area that you have to look into. I'm going Thursday afternoon to talk to the regents and present the same proposals and the same situations to them. I think that the city and the university must come together and meet these issues. This is something that cannot be dealt with passively, as with the police community relations. You've got to act on both these items now and act soon and act responsibly. Thank you.
Right on.
Well, how about that white tent that wasn't the other on the island? I don't know.
I don't know.
The point is, some cities can come here and do what they want to here or not. The point is, if you have countries in three years, you have a fascist country. That's the point. If I wanted to cut my hair, I'd cut it myself. I didn't cut it for 3 years because I didn't want to. You know?
John.
If that's a crime, if that's going to be a crime now, what have you got? You haven't gotten any more than that. That's a crime.
Why are your people creating street disturbances in that area?
Our people are the Sheriff Harvey and his friends from Oakland County and Monroe County and those vicious pigs that they have up there.
Now, I want to stop you right now. You cannot refer to police officers as pigs on this program.
I won't refer to them at all.
That's
what they are. They are police officers. Police officers keep the peace and protect the people. They don't assault people. They don't beat people. They don't march down the street and wave and skin people who have racial business on the street off the street.
Who appointed you to bring the streets back to the people? Who appointed you to close out the streets? But your people were there.
Well, ask them. Don't ask me.
Come on, John.
They didn't close out the street. The police closed out the street.
But why do your people want to take, what gives your people the right to take over the street?
What are they taking over? Wednesday night when the police moved in, did anybody take over the street? Most of the people that were in the street from what my intelligence told me were people who came down to see what was going to happen. There aren't 2,000 people from here in and out. I don't even have
problems. But weren't your people involved in this thing?
Involved in it? What was it?
Yeah, weren't they down there?
They were on the street,
weren't
sure.
The street is three blocks from my home. Pardon me?
The street is 3 blocks from my home.
Why do you have to take over the street?
Close the street. Well, it wasn't closed.
But traffic couldn't get through when your people are jamming up the street, could it?
I don't know. I wasn't there. I'm just saying, these are theoretical
questions. Yeah, I'd like to ask one.
We had people. I can give you people who were there. We can give you an account.
John.
You know.
I remember you.
Mary Harris will be on. He can tell you.
Will I come
here?
John, I can remember you 2.5 years ago. Why are you teaching this one those systems with this deny you the freedom that you enjoy in this country?
No, they don't.
Well, they don't.
We don't have the freedom in this country. That's what I'm trying to say. I can't wear my hair long. What are you talking about?
You've got freedom to walk down the university. Yeah,
last week I was never told to been there. Couldn't walk down the street. Citizens were chased down
into
their homes, dragged out of their homes. People were dragged out of the backyard, started declaring for riots.
What about the freedom to print all the filthy junk that you disseminate, John? Isn't that freedom? How long do you have to get
arrested for it? Have you ever heard of the First Amendment?
John.
Have you ever heard of the First Amendment?
Yes,
have you ever heard of the Constitution? What does it say?
Yes.
What does it say?
Yes.
What does it say?
Does it have a First Amendment in Cuba, John?
Yeah.
Is that why all the people are running over to the
United States? I don't want
to have a First
Amendment. I haven't been to Cuba. I'm going to talk to
them. They have a First Amendment in Cuba. You preach this. Do you have a First Amendment in China, John?
Sure.
Well, they do. Is that why they're arresting people and killing them there by the thousands? Is that what people
are saying? I don't know about that.
Upset winner, the recently elected mayor of Ann Arbor, the first time. gathered some people, hippies and just young kids, all kinds of mixed crowd, really went into the streets of South University. In fact, threw a barricade, walked the crowd.
They didn't really try and close the street.
Yeah, as near as I can see, they did. And they essentially reveled in. They blocked the street. There was drinking and dancing. There was some fire. There was viral. There were reports of various kinds of
obscene conflicts.
As you know, there's recently been a new crime task force set up to prosecute Delaware.
flooding. Use the same word that beginning with that four-letter word. But the sheriff says very unkind things about you, is he not?
Well, I read it correctly.
But the thing that disturbs me, as I say, is the fact that the sheriff would make a public statement that all the investigation, everything on the murder is stopped because of the problem in the street. How can you ever stop pursuing the question of who murdered these girls?
Well, I think some of the things he's referring to is a manpower problem.
Stop.